Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a hot pan style jungle re-space in Ableton Live 12, then distorting and arranging it so it actually works in a real drum and bass track. Not just a cool sound in solo, but a bass line that rolls with the breakbeat, hits hard, and still leaves space for the drums. This is an intermediate lesson, so I'm going to assume you already know your way around MIDI clips, basic synths, and Ableton's workflow. The goal here is to take a classic Reese idea, give it that gritty, detuned jungle energy, and turn it into something club-ready. A big thing to keep in mind from the start: work in layers. Don't try to make one single patch do everything. The Reese layer should carry the attitude and movement, and the sub-layer should carry the weight. If you separate those jobs early, the mix gets way easier. Let's start by creating the Reese. Open a new MIDI track and load Waveedable. If you want, you can also use Drift, but Waveedable is the easiest starting point for this sound. Initialize the patch so we're not fighting any hidden settings. Set oscillator 1 to a saw wave, and set oscillator 2 to a saw wave as well. Then detune oscillator 2 just slightly. Start around plus 7 to plus 12 cents, and adjust by ear until you hear that slow beating motion. That beating is the heart of a re-space. It's the movement that makes the sound feel alive and unstable. Keep both oscillators in the same octave at first. You can experiment later with octave shifts, but for now we want a solid foundation. If you're using unison, keep it light. Two voices is enough to start. Too much unison too early can make the low end fuzzy and less focused. On the amp envelope, keep the attack very short, almost instant. Decay can be short or medium. Sustain should stay full and release should be short enough that the notes stay tight. Jungle and DNB bass usually needs to be controlled and rhythmically sharp, not super washed out. Now let's add the sub. Create a second MIDI track and load operator or drift. Set it to a clean sine wave. If you want a little more character, you can use a triangle-like sub, but keep it mostly sine clean. Copy the same MIDI notes from the Reese track, and make sure the sub is mono. This part matters a lot. Keep the sub clean. Don't distort it heavily. Don't widen it. Don't overprocess it. The sub is the floor under the whole thing. If the sub gets messy, your bass will start swimming, and the kick and snare won't feel as strong. Now route both tracks into a bass group, so you can process them together later. Back on the Reese track, it's time to build the distortion chain. This is where the sound starts to become proper DNB. A good starting chain is Waveedable, then Saturator, then Overdrive, then EQ8, then Roar if you want extra aggression, and finally Utility for width control. You can also use Waveedable, Saturator, Roar, Compressor, and EQ8 if you want a more modern and aggressive edge. Start with Saturator. Add a few dB of drive, maybe somewhere around 3 to 8 dB, and turn soft clip on. This adds density and harmonic content without completely flattening the tone. Use the output knob carefully so your gain staging properly. One useful habit is to feed the distortion a slightly quieter signal. That often sounds dirtier in a more controlled way than just cranking everything. Next, add overdrive. This is great for adding bite in the midrange. Set the frequency somewhere around 400 Hz to 1.5 kHz and adjust by ear. You want the sound to start feeling a little angry and forward, but not thin or harsh. Keep the dry slash wet somewhere in the 20 to 50% range depending on how intense you want it. If you want to use Roar, this is where Ableton Live 12 really gets fun. Roar can do a lot for modern DNB based design. Use a mid-heavy distortion style and keep the drive fairly restrained at first. Roar gets huge very fast, so the goal is controlled chaos, not a wall of mush. If it starts sounding too wild, back off the drive or tone settings and let the movement come from the patch itself. After the distortion, use EQ8 to shape the result. If you have a separate sub, you can cut the Reese layer below around 80 to 120 Hz to make room. If the sound is harsh, reduce some of the bite around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If it feels thin, a small boost around 150 to 300 Hz can help, but be careful because that area gets muddy fast. A little presence boost around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz can help bring out the growl and make the bass speak on smaller speakers. Then use utility to control stereo width. Keep the sub centered and mono. On the Reese layer, you can widen things a bit, but don't overdo it. A good rule is, low end stays honest, low mids stay tighter than the top mids, and only the upper character gets wider. If the patch feels too unstable in mono, pull the width back. Now let's add motion. A static Reese can sound good, but a moving Reese sounds like a track. In Waveedable, automate the filter cutoff, filter resonance, and Waveedable position if needed. You can also map these to macros so you can control several things at once. Try this kind of movement. Keep the filter more closed during the tension bars, then open it up more on the drop. You can also automate a subtle pulse every 2 or 4 bars so the sound breathes with the groove. During fill moments, bring the resonance up a little for a sharper metallic edge. That tiny bit of motion goes a long way. Let's think in phrases now, not just sounds. For a simple 8-bar idea, bars 1 and 2 can be filtered and restrained, almost like a teaser. Bars 3 and 4 can open up a little more, adding tension. Bars 5 and 6 are your drop, where the full res and sub hit together. Bar 7 can have a variation, like a filter dip, a changed note, or a drum fill. Then bar 8 can act as a turnaround, maybe with a quick bass stop or a brief sub removal before the next phrase. That's the kind of arrangement thinking that makes the bass feel musical instead of repetitive. Now let's talk MIDI articulation. DNB bass rarely just holds one note endlessly. Even if you're using a res patch, the rhythm matters just as much as the tone. Try short stabs on the offbeats, syncopated 1/8 and 1/16 patterns, and a few longer notes only at the ends of phrases. Leave space for the snare on beat 2 and beat 4. If the bass is stepping on the snare, the whole groove loses impact. One really important idea here is that bass and drums should feel like a conversation. The bass hits, the drums answer, then the bass comes back with a different shape. That call and response energy is a huge part of classic jungle and drum and bass. Now that the res and sub are working together, put them on a bass group if you haven't already. On the group, use EQ8 for final cleanup, glue compressor for a little bit of cohesion, saturator for gentle density if needed, and utility for mono control. If you use glue compressor, keep it light. Attack somewhere around 10 to 30 milliseconds, release on auto or somewhere around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, and ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. You're only looking for maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction, just enough to glue the parts together without flattening the movement. Now let's arrange it into something that sounds like an actual jungle or DNB section. For bars 1 and 2, keep things tense. Use a filtered res, maybe minimal sub or no sub at all, and let the breakbeat do most of the talking. A bit of vinyl texture or noise can help here too. For bars 3 and 4, build the tension. Open the filter more, add a few bass notes, and let the drums get a little more intense. This is a good place for automation throws, like a bit of extra reverb or delay on a tail phrase. For bars 5 and 6, hit the drop. Bring in the full res and sub, let the kick and snare land hard, and use syncopated bass hits to drive the groove. This is where the distortion really earns its place. On bar 7, introduce variation. Change one note, dip the filter, or add a chopped break fill. Then on bar 8, do a turnaround. You can remove the sub briefly, use a bass stutter, or throw in a reverse chop to set up the next phrase. And here's a key mix point, make the bass work with the break, not against it. High pass the res layer if it's fighting the kick or sub. Sidechain lightly if needed. Leave room for the snare. Avoid too much sustained low-mid distortion when the drums are busy. In drum and bass, the kick should punch, the snare should cut, the break should groove, and the bass should provide weight and movement without turning into mud. A really useful next step is to resample the bass once it sounds good. Resampling is a classic jungle move. Record the bass output to audio, consolidate the best phrases, and slice them into a new audio track. Then you can reverse parts, automate fades, chop fills, or reprocess the slices. This is where you start getting those handcrafted, slightly ruthless jungle textures that feel alive. If you want to go deeper, try making a second copy of the bass and pushing it about 20 to 30% harder. Then a slash B both versions in the arrangement. Very often the less extreme version actually wins because it leaves more space for the drums and feels heavier in context. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Don't distort the sub too much. That's one of the fastest ways to lose definition in the low end. Don't make the res too wide, especially down low. Keep the bottom centered. Don't leave the distortion chain static the whole time. Automating drive or filter changes creates way more excitement than just leaving everything on. And don't design the bass and solo for too long. The breakbeat will reveal problems that solo mode hides. If you want extra darkness and weight, try layering a second mid-bass texture quietly underneath. Band pass it, distort it harder, and keep it narrower. Or split the bass into zones. Clean low band, nasty mid band, and maybe a bit of high fizz on top. That gives you more control than one giant blanket of distortion. Also, pay attention to note length. Shorter notes give you the chopped jungle feel. Medium notes are good for a rolling vibe. Longer notes can work at phrase endings or on more modern, sustained DNB ideas. You can get a lot of musical variation just by changing articulation instead of changing the synth. One more pro move, Automate the distortion amount itself. Don't keep it pinned at max all the time. Bring it up on phrase endings, drop accents, or fills. Pull it back a little when the drums are busy. That contrast makes the heavier moments hit harder. For practice, build a 4-bar Reese phrase at 174 BPM. Use wavetable or drift. Add a separate sine sub. Use at least 2 distortion devices. Automate 1 filter parameter. Write a bass pattern with at least 3 different note lengths, and leave space for the snare on beats 2 and 4. Then resample it and chop 1 fill. If you can, make 2 versions, 1 cleaner rolling version and 1 nastier jungle version. The big takeaway here is simple. In drum and bass, the best bass sounds are not just big. They're structured, rhythmic, and mix-aware. Keep the sub clean, let the Reese carry the attitude, and arrange it so the drums can breathe.